Seats, let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and just a few verses this morning, beginning in verse 13, Matthew 5 and 13, and these are the words recorded by Matthew of our Lord Jesus. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Amen. This is God's word to us this morning. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. And let's just pray. Father God, we pray in the stillness that you would just quieten down our hearts and our minds, that you would open up our ears and our eyes, that we might see and hear new and wonderful truths contained in your word. We thank you for the many times we've read these words before, and for the many times we've heard somebody preach and proclaim these words. We pray this morning, Father God, that you would just encourage our hearts once more as we come at these words afresh today, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, indeed that you might change us for all of eternity. So Father God, come and speak to us this morning, to speaker and listener alike, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A Peanuts cartoon that I've probably shared with you before, so you will forgive me. A Peanuts cartoon shows Peppermint Patty talking to Charlie Brown, in which she says to him, "Guess what, Chuck? The first day of school, and I got sent to the principal's office. It was your fault, Chuck." Charlie Brown responds, "My fault? How could it be my fault? Why do you say everything is my fault?" To which Peppermint Patty declares, "You're my friend, aren't you, Chuck? You should have been a better influence on me." Well, Peppermint Patty was trying to pass the buck. She was also speaking, I think, some truth there. We should be a good influence on those around us. It's our calling. It's our job. Influence. What message do you leave the world? When you pass by, what is it you are saying? Years ago, Eli Burritt, I wish people had simple names, I have to tell you. Eli Burritt, a peace campaigner and a blacksmith, wrote this: "No human being can come into this world without increasing or diminishing the sum total of human happiness, not only of the present, but of every subsequent age of humanity. No one can detach himself from this connection. There is no sequestrated spot in the universe, no dark niche along the disk of non-existence to which he can retreat from his relations to others, where he can withdraw the influence of his existence upon the moral destiny of the world. Everywhere his presence or absence will be felt. Everywhere he will have companions who will be better or worse because of him." It is an old saying, says Burritt, and one of the fearful and fathomless statements of import, that we are forming characters for eternity. Friends, we are forming characters for eternity, both our own and those of the people around us. And that's a scary prospect. We have influence, and we exert influence on those around us, both consciously and subconsciously. Last week we looked at a Christian's character and the right attitudes we should have. We thought on the qualities commended and the blessings promised. And in a sense, last week was about us forming our own characters. And this week can be seen as us forming the character of those around us. We move on in the Sermon on the Mount, our series, The Jesus Makeover, to consider a Christian's influence, salt and light. Can we influence other people? Yes, we can. Do we influence other people? Yes, we do. Is that a good influence or a bad influence? Well, only time will tell. And I'm not quite so sure sometimes. But let's think on what Jesus says and make sure in the present and in the future that our influence is the best it can be. As we think on a Christian's influence, we first turn to salt before next week looking at light together. Just to encourage your hearts a little bit this morning, I sat down on Monday and began to prepare, and as I went through and as I took my notes and as I scribbled the thoughts down and as they began to take shape, I suddenly realised that I couldn't do salt and light in 1 week, or you might still be here at 2 o'clock this afternoon. So we've had to split it into salt today and light next week, just to encourage you. Verse 13, salt, you're the salt of the earth, says Jesus. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. People in general do not realise the importance of salt in maintaining the life and health of our bodies. An exact percentage of it is always present in our bloodstream, and any great deviation from this amount can result in sickness and even in death. I did a wee bit of research this week trying to see if that was true or not. And if you have hyponatremia, which is a lack of salt, a lack of sodium chloride in your body, it can cause confusion and cause dizziness. However, if you've got too much salt in your bloodstream, then you begin to get high blood pressure and all the difficulties associated with that. And some of the medical folks amongst you can correct me afterwards if I'm right or wrong and tell me other reasons for too much and too little salt in your body. Salt is a sustainer of other life as well. For this reason, seawater will support many more organisms than fresh water. As a preservative, it prevents spoilage. It also adds a splendid condiment, as we thought with the children, adding zest and flavour to our food. Salt has many uses in life, and the Bible speaks of some of those, and Jesus uses this as his example this morning. And as we think on some of those uses of salt today, let's remember it had a variety of natural qualities and uses in the ancient world. It was so important, salt was so important, that it was used as a medium of exchange in commercial ventures across the Mediterranean, the Aegean and the Adriatic seas. Roman soldiers were paid in salt. Did you know that? That means if you're a lousy soldier, you weren't worth your salt. And that's where we get that phrase that we still use in society today. Salt was used in ancient times as a sign of friendship as well. There were salt covenants. So what of salt and its uses? Salt, first of all today, preserves. A primary use for salt until recent times has been as a preservative. In a society without the refrigeration units that we have, salt will be rubbed into meat or fish to slow the decay. Salt wards off rot and decay. Today our foods have so many different preservatives added to them that we've got to be careful. And you sometimes wonder if they actually even keep our food any longer than the old-fashioned methods of rubbing coarse salt into them. This way, as the salt is rubbed in, the meat lasted for quite some time until it was ready to be cooked and then eaten. Jesus is speaking of the preserving influence of Christians and the influence Christians have on the world around them. Our world is decaying. It has been decaying since the moment Adam and Eve ate from the fruit of the tree they were told not to eat from. Sin had entered the world, and sin has been present ever since. We are all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We've each turned to our own way and done our own thing. And the Bible says when we do that,
We sin against God, for we please ourselves and we don't please Him. God made a perfect world, but He gave us our own minds. He gave us free will, and because of that we sin and we carry on sinning. The world is decaying. To prevent decay, you need a preservative. And Jesus is saying here to His disciples, and down through the centuries to us, that Christians have an influence on those around them in the world. That influence should be used as a preservative. We should be preserving a decaying world. Now you think to yourself, that's a tough job. For every Christian, there are tens, hundreds, hey, even thousands of non-Christians out there. There are many people who do not know and love Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. Many people who claim they do not believe in God. Here in Conton this morning, we are 60 or 70 people gathered in the church here. There are probably a few more handfuls of people around the Conton who go and worship in other churches. But that probably means that there's probably 100 or 200 Christians in a community of over 2,000 people. How can we exert influence here and preserve against decay? For our encouragement, turn back to Genesis 18. Genesis 18, if you have your Bibles with you, just so you can see this for yourself, and you can read up on it later on again. Genesis 18 and verse 23. We read the account of Sodom and Abraham pleading. And Abraham says, then Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Then Abraham spoke up again, now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people? If I find 45 there, he said, I will not destroy it. And of course, Abraham comes back again, what about 40, what about 30? What about 10? And the Lord says, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. Friends, do you want to know something? Just 10 righteous people would have been enough to preserve an entire population. Listen, we as believers in this world preserve the world from the wrath of God. I believe wholeheartedly that the influence and prayers of salty Christians helps preserve our society, yet cannot do it forever. However great our influence is on those around us, God has told us that one day He is coming back to judge the world, and all those who do not own the name of Jesus will be judged and will be sent away from God forever. Hell is their future. So let's get preserving, not just for the here and now, but for eternity. Let's be telling people about Jesus and drawing them into the kingdom. Let's be drawing them to the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. Salt preserves, but it also purifies. Salt has remarkable cleansing ability. Ezekiel 16:4 says, on the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to make you clean, nor were you rubbed with salt or wrapped in cloths. In ancient times, newborn babies were washed in salt to cleanse their bodies and to give firmness to their skin. And as Ezekiel speaks, he warns the nation that they have not been washed in salt to purify them, and so they were in danger. Salt cleanses the body and purifies it. I have dry skin in my hands sometimes. Whenever we're on holiday and go into the sea, the salt water somehow or other helps that dry skin. I don't know how it works, but it's got that purifying element to it. Of course, rubbing salt in a wound also helps to purify the wound, doesn't it? It cleans it. Now, you may well know that if you've got a graze or a cut on your finger, and you're pouring the salt in at dinner time and it gets onto that cut or graze, what happens? It stings like mad. But you know that stinging effect helps to cleanse and to heal the cut or the graze. I well remember having mouth ulcers when I was younger. And what would my mother do whenever I moaned about this ulcer in my mouth? She would go and get the salt and stick it on her finger and stick it straight in my mouth, and I would yelp. But she would tell me it would be better. And sure enough, the next day, the mouth ulcer began to clear and to disappear. And there's a sense here that Jesus says, as we are the salt of the earth, he is saying that we have a purifying effect on those around us. We ought to be different from the world. We thought on that last week with our attitudes, didn't we? When we are different, people notice. When we show them a different way, a better way, people take notice of us. Now some people will walk away from us and they will ignore us. And that's because of that stinging effect that we have upon them. They don't like it. They don't like our pure lives and our talk of a holy and a righteous God. And that very stinging effect, though, can purify some people as they begin to realize how good God is and how much he loves them and how holy and righteous he is, that the only way for him to deal with our sin was to send his son to die on the cross to save us. Salt preserves, salt purifies, it also pleases. I like nothing more than adding salt to my soup or my potatoes or my chips, as Robin so eloquently told us this morning. It enhances the flavour, it pleases the taste buds. Murag always tells me I add too much salt to my food, but I love it. Salt was used to season food in ancient times, and it still is today. In fact, I would almost go as far as saying that food without salt, let's face it, has something missing, doesn't it? Maybe that's just me. I'm not a great advert for helping people with high blood pressure or anything this morning. Salt pleases. And Jesus says we are to be the salt of the earth. We are to flavour the world around us. And that's a good way of us looking at this. As salt, we are to so live our lives that we bring out the best in those around us. It's not about pleasing the world, but it's about enriching and encouraging those around us to live better lives. As we live in the world with the right attitudes that we thought on last week, so we begin to influence others to live better lives as well. We bring out the best in other people, or sometimes we bring out the worst. I wonder how the world looks at us sometimes. Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, "I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers." I hope I never look and act like an undertaker. Robert Louis Stevenson once wrote in his diary, "I have been to church today and I am not depressed." Frankly, the world looks at us sometimes and they don't see us as contributing to the flavour of life. They see us as drab and boring and as party poopers. And yet Jesus says we are the salt of the earth. We add flavour to the world around us. Some will reject that flavour just as they reject salt sometimes. But our attitudes in life, our actions will please some but not all. And sadly it's true that not all will receive Jesus Christ as Lord and as Saviour, and yet we are called to be salt. We are called to flavour the world around. Salt preserves, purifies, pleases. Do you know salt also poisons? Slight negative in salt here, it poisons. Although you can see it in a positive light, of course. Have you ever, maybe it's just me, a bit of my vindictive childhood or something, have you ever put salt on a slug? What happens to the slug? Poor thing shrivels up and dries out and dies. Slugs and salt don't mix. If you put salt on a nice, beautiful green lawn, what will happen? It will kill the grass. Too much salt is not good for your blood pressure. In Judges 9, we read of Abimelech coming against the city of Shechem. Go read the story later on. He heard they were going out to the fields to work, so he set an ambush and he killed the people. He pressed in and he took the city. And then we read in verse 45, then he destroyed the city and scattered salt over it. He sowed the city with salt so as to prevent the ground from being used to grow any crops. He killed the fields with his salt. Salt poisoned the ground. And that's why we use salt sometimes on the dandelions in the garden as well. By the same token, when true Christianity is sown into the lives, homes and communities of this world, some things will be put to death. We can make an impact on our world by the very fact that Christianity is pure poison to sin. When Jesus comes into our life, drinking, swearing, fighting, hating, killing, taking drugs, loose living, all of those kind of things are put to death in the name of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And so when we live the Christian life the right way, with the right attitude, then we will have an influence on the world around us. For some, that will mean we are like poison, killing off sin. When we live for Jesus, seeking to follow him and do things his way, then some things will have to be put to death. Some things will have to be left behind. We will have to turn our backs on them. And so I encourage you, brothers and sisters here this morning, if you're here today, and there are still some areas of your life that are not fully in line with Jesus Christ, then get it sorted. Be the salt of the earth and allow that influence to poison and to put to death the sinful activities that you crave and that you're involved with. Stop the drinking to excess. Stop using the foul and abusive language. Stop the loose living. Stop watching those dodgy television programs, the pornographic ones and the evil movies. Stop living the world's way and start living God's way. And lastly, salt promotes. You know, when I worked in the bank latterly, one of my biggest struggles was the very sales culture that was becoming out and prevalent. I struggled. There were promotions every week. One week it would be mortgages, the next it would be loans, the week after it would be credit cards. Promote the product at every opportunity is what we got told. Every time a customer comes to pay in a check or withdraw money, ask them about their mortgage. And you still get that today, don't you? You go walking into a bank and what happens? You're just paying in your paycheck. You're just paying a bill and somebody says to you, how about your mortgage, Mr. Wishart? Do you have your mortgage with us, Mr. Wishart? What about a credit card, Mr. Wishart? Mr. Wishart, do you need a loan? In a similar way, salt promotes. Salt promotes. It promotes thirst. If you drink salty water, you get thirsty and you drink. Too much salt in your food causes the same reaction. Have you ever swum in the sea and swallowed the salt water? The first thing you want to do is drink more to get rid of the flavour and to quench your thirst. And if you drink more salt water, of course you just get thirstier. As salt, the Christian has the wonderful opportunity to promote a thirst for Jesus Christ in the world. Jesus himself said, talking to the woman at the well in John 4, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus quenches the thirst. A few chapters later in John 6, Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. As Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have those streams of living water flowing from within us out to the world around us. When we live as Christians ought to, when we take the call of Jesus seriously, when we live right, when we look right, when we act right and talk right, when we worship right, when we dress right, then we have the ability to create a thirst for Jesus Christ in the hearts of those around us. And when that happens, we point people, men and women, boys and girls, to Jesus, and we share with them the water of life. Sadly, there are a lot of Christians in this world who do not promote thirst, but rather they promote ridicule. Too often we live substandard, immoral lives, and the world sees it and it says, why should I receive Jesus? I live just as good as the crowd down at the church. And the fact is that sadly sometimes that is right. Let us so live our lives that we ever prove them wrong. Our lives should be above reproach if we are to create a thirst for God in the world. We want to promote Jesus promote his amazing love. Friends, Jesus says we are the salt of the earth. The verb here, este, in the Greek, stresses being. The stress is on being what we are and what we continue to be. We are the salt. We continue to be the salt. We are the only salt of this world. Let me add this. It's not what we should be. We shouldn't be the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. Like it or not, that's what we are. The only question is whether we're salty or whether that saltiness has begun to lose its flavour just a little bit. And that's what Jesus finishes with in verse 13. He warns of losing our saltiness. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Pure salt cannot lose its saltiness and its effectiveness. And yet there's a salt common in the Dead Sea area that Jesus would know about and the people around them would know of. And it's contaminated with gypsum and with other minerals. And it looked like salt. To all intents and purposes, people thought it was salt, but it didn't taste like salt. And it was ineffective as a preservative. The salt had indeed lost its usefulness. Of course, another possibility in Jesus' day was that he was talking of some rock formations that contained deposits of sodium chloride, deposits of salt. Meat and fish would be packed into those rocks for a while to keep them, to preserve them. But after a period of time, the salt would leach out of the rocks, so the rocks were good for nothing, and so thrown out. As believers, we are either a preservative or we're a worthless rock. Pretend disciples will be found out. They lose their saltiness. Jesus encourages us that we, as his followers, are the salt of the earth. As salt, we preserve, we purify, we please, we poison, and we promote. And as such, we bring a great influence on those round about us, both those who know us and those who simply watch us. We have the power to promote Christ or to push people away from him. As his followers, may we be all he has called us to be. You are the salt of the earth. You are. Not you will be, you might be. He says you are. Woodrow Wilson told the story of being in a barber shop one time. I was sitting in a barber chair when I became aware that a powerful personality had entered the room. A man had come quietly in upon the same errand as myself to have his hair cut, and he sat in the chair next to me. Every word the man uttered, although not in the least way didactic, showed a personal interest in the man who was serving him. And before I got through what was being done to me, I was aware that I had attended an evangelistic service, because that man in the chair next to me was Mr. D.L. Moody. I purposely lingered in the room after he had left and noted the singular effect that his visit had brought upon the barber shop. They talked in undertones. They did not know his name, but they knew that he had elevated their thoughts, and I felt that I left that place as I should have left a place of worship. Influence. Influence. How we live, how we act, what we say, how we say it, how we are as salt. May our influence be all it can be, and may it point people to Jesus, our Saviour. You are the salt of the earth. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you for the thoughts on being the salt of the earth. We thank you that that's what you have called us. That's what we are as your followers. And we pray that you would help us to exert our influence for good on those around us. Father God, we pray that you would help us to preserve, to purify, to please, to poison, and to promote. But Father God, as people see us, as they hear us, as they watch us, That Father God, we would be promoting Jesus Christ. That they would be drawn to the Saviour through the way we live our lives. And Father God, we admit at times that we fail you. We let you down. We fall far short. But we pray, Father God, that you would give us the courage and the strength to go forth and to be what you have called us to be. That we would go forth and be the salt of the earth this day. Father God, help us to keep mulling over these words in our hearts and our minds this day. Help us to go home and to read those words again and to think through what we've heard. And Lord, help us to see ways to apply that to our lives individually this week at home, at work, and at play. And Father God, would you help us to be the people you would have us be. So thank you for being amongst us this morning. Continue your work in our hearts and in our lives, we would pray. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you